God's grace be with you today from our Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, in truth and love. Amen. Today's our final sermon in our sermon series on our new identity in Christ. We talked about ourselves as pilgrims, travelers, citizens of a better country, royal priests, jars of clay, sons of light. There's much more that can be said, things like heirs of the kingdom, living sacrifices, soldiers of Christ, etc., which I'm going to save for a sermon series sometime in the future I'd like to share with you. But today is the final sermon in this particular sermon series, and I want to talk today about another name that God has given you, the name Church. Now, we're called this in the Bible. For example, quick one, Ephesians 3, Paul says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." So I want to ask you a question, though, to start out. How does that name strike you? Church. We're going to talk about church today. Is that boring? Or is that exciting to you, that name, church? This is one of the reasons I want to preach on this name, because I think many do have negative connotations with that word, or at least not very positive connotations with the word church. I can think when I was a boy, I'd think, "Mom, why do we have to go to church? That's boring. I'd like to play outside. Can't we worship God just as well in the woods?" Maybe you've met people who say, "I don't believe in organized, institutionalized religion, and that's what church is." Met people like that. Others believe it's a set of rules and customs to obey. And others say it's a building. In other words, "I'm going to church. I'm going to the building." And others that it's a dry and a boring service. Well, is this what the Bible describes the church to be? God has called you church. And if God has called you church, it must be something pretty good. And so today I'd like to get a better understanding of this word church with you. Hopefully excite you along the way about your new name that God has given you. Because being church, is it exciting or boring? Well, let's take a look. Let's learn about that. What would God say to us? First of all, I want to take a look at this bulletin cover. You want to take a look with me? Here we see a church, right? It's beautiful, picturesque. Looks like it belongs in Vermont. This the stereotypical, perfect New England church. Got the white steeple. Is this the church, a building with four walls, a roof, and a steeple? Is that what the church is? Well, let's take a look at Matthew 18, see how that fits in. This is one of the first places the word church occurs in the Bible. So, let's take a look at it. Jesus is talking here, and he says, "If your brother sins against you, take between you and him alone, speak to him. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't listen, take two or three others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." So is Jesus saying, go and speak to a building with four walls, a roof, and a steeple? Be waiting pretty long for an answer, right? Obviously, the church is people. And it's the people of God. So if you look at the bulletin cover, actually this is church on here. Not the picture, but the words. "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So church is people, but what's the special characteristic of church, about these people? What makes us different? Well, let me just give you a little Greek here. The word for church is ekklesia. Can you say that? Ekklesia. Oh, you're pretty good. You're all Greek to me, but you speak very well. It's a compound of two words, ek and klesia. Ek means out. Klesia comes from kaleo, which means to call. So literally, it's those who are called out. And what are you called out of? You are those who are called out of the world to know God and to walk with him by faith. This is really important, because not everybody has this. So the church is about a relationship with God. The people on this planet who have a relationship with the God who made this planet, and not just a relationship, but a living, breathing, daily relationship with their God who walks with them as they walk by faith. So, is the church then these things to you, or has it been? Many people I meet say it's dead orthodoxy, it's ceremonies, it's vestments, it's steeples, or a set of rules to obey. Many see it this way, and so where are they? They're not here, right? They ain't here this morning because they see it as vestments, dead orthodoxy, and ceremonies, and they are sick and tired of empty symbols. Well, you know what? If that's what it was, if that's what it meant to be a Christian, I wouldn't be a Christian either. I wouldn't be in church either if that's what it was about. And happily, there's someone else who agrees with me, someone with a capital S. Let's read about this guy. Sorry, I didn't mean to say guy, Lord. God says this to his people, Israel, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon, Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So if you want to talk, hey, church is just a bunch of people, hypocrites, going through empty symbols and having a solemn assembly without a heart, without a true relationship with God, without righteousness, then you're actually echoing God's despising of such things. He hates that. Now, God commanded all those things, right? New moons, Sabbaths, incense. But he wants them to be done, in the Old Testament days, with a relationship of love with their creator and with true righteousness. Because the next line, what's it say? When you spread forth your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are full of blood. So Israel looked like religion. They were talking like religion, but they didn't have a living relationship with the living God. And they were not walking in righteousness, and so God rejected them. And Jesus says as much in the New Testament. He says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So what's God want from us? What does it mean to be the church? It means to have your heart with God. The people who are called out of the world to belong to God and to know him and to have a living relationship with him. And so in this sense, let me ask you this question. Is Christianity a religion or a relationship? Ultimately, it's a relationship with the living God. We're called out of the world to be the only ones on earth, although God calls all. The church are those who actually know him and who walk with him in spirit and in truth. Have you met people on the streets who say, I don't believe in institutionalized, organized religion? I met someone on the boat. We had as a charter boat trip, I think last week or the week before. I said, are you guys Christians? He says, well, I don't believe in organized religion. What happens when someone says, I don't believe in organized religion? You know what he worships? Disorganization, right? He worships chaos, ultimately. And a lot of people look at church as organized, institutionalized religion. It's just a set of rules that people keep. It's a box. Well, I think, I don't know about Joyce Meyer. I haven't researched all of her teachings on the radio, but I do like this thing, at least she said. She may be good and may not, but this is, I really like. She says, the truth is, we can make a law out of almost anything. We can make a lot of exercise, cleaning the house, prayer, Bible reading, you name it. I'll add church. You can make a lot of this. I can remember when I was so religious about cleaning my house that I couldn't even relax and enjoy having friends over for a meal. I made such a big deal of making sure everything was perfect before the guests came over that by the time they got there, I was angry and exhausted and wished they could go home. You think church can become that way? Are you so busy making it into a set of rules and orders of behavior and things that we go through ceremoniously that you've lost the life and the zest of that you are called out to be in a living, daily, breathing, vibrant relationship with God every second of your life? And God wants that. She goes on and says, if we're just practicing religion, our relationship with God can become a burden. Instead of looking forward to being with him, we feel like we have to spend time with him, like we have to. We have to pray. We have to go to church. The list goes on. But when you and I are enjoying an intimate relationship with God, we see things differently. Spending time with him becomes a privilege. We get to read the Bible. We get to pray. We get to go to church. But I think we can turn almost anything into an institution, can't we? We can turn it into just, hey, I've gone to church, I feel good about that. I've read the Bible, I feel good about that. We should do all these things. But if we just turn them into something we do by rote, something that we do as a cultural norm, or it's just what we do, what happens to our faith? What happens to our life? What happens to our relationship with God? We lose all joy in it, right? I mean, if you clean the house for somebody that you want to have over, but you're so busy cleaning the house that you don't enjoy the person, you've lost the joy. And here's a good barometer as to whether we're turning it into an institutionalized sort of religion, is how much joy do you have in coming here? Is it a joy to read the Bible? Not that the Christian life's always easy. I'm not saying that. But some people say, I'd really rather worship the Church of the Holy Comforter on Sunday mornings. You know, the pillow? Or is it the Church of God where I get to come and I get to hear him forgive my sins personally? He gets to speak to me from the pulpit. He gets to feed me with his own hands through the hands of the minister. God is with me. God is with us. We're called out of the earth, out of all people, to know God. And that's why Paul says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life, the church, those who know God. Who do we know? A thing, a set of principles, even a set of doctrines, which we want to hold to, but is that what it is? It's a person. We're in relationship with a person. And he's here right now. He's speaking to you through me. He's in this room. He created the world. He created you, and he calls you out of the earth to say, I want you to know me and to live your life with me. Therefore, he says in Jeremiah 9, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So do you know him today? So religion, is it a religion or a relationship? It's a
relationship,
but it's also religion. Because, like we said, some people say, I don't believe in institutionalized, organized religion. You know those same people say, you say to them, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. They say, I already got a relationship with God. I'm fine. Whereas, in fact, what the church really is, are those who are called out of the world to know God based on the truth, based on the anchor, the real truth that God has revealed to us, so that we can not only have a relationship with God, but be in a right relationship with him. Everybody can just have a relationship. I'll be Seinfeld up here for a minute. Anybody can just have a relationship anywhere. But importance is having a right relationship with God. You can have the good, the bad, and the ugly relationship, but we are the church are those who have a good relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because we have a God, my friends, who wants to know us personally and for us to know him personally, who has revealed to us what he's like. He tells us about that. He says he teaches us his ways. He speaks to us through his word. And he shows us the way of salvation and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ for our salvation. Therefore, Paul says this. Titus, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I've been entrusted by command our Savior. Of God our Savior. Oh, I'm caught on the little thing here. On the liturgy, I'm caught up just like all of us get to on the institutions and the trappings of our religion. But religion is basically just means that you have a set of truths that you assent to. But we're based, our relationship's based upon the truth. And in particular, God has called us not to just a relationship, but to a right one with him. Two nations are at war with one another. There's fighting between them. What makes the relationship right? A truce. It's only at that point that you can have peace. Now, we talk a lot about having the peace of God, but guess what? The first thing we need is peace in our relationship to God before we can feel the peace in ourselves. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. Jesus died that he might reconcile us both, that's Jews and Gentiles, to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. Bringing the hostility to an end. What hostility? Between whom? Between Jew and Gentile? Or between man and God? Both, but especially, God has gotten rid of the hostility between the two of you. If you're the church, you are the only people on earth who have come to know and be in a right relationship with God. And what's that relationship mean? Two nations at war, they have fighting. We were at war with God. We had fighting with him. Him with us, we with God. But now the church are those who are called out of the world who are in a truce with God, who have true and lasting peace with God. And what's this mean for you in your daily life? It means, very simply, God's not mad at you anymore. Isn't that so wonderful? That you're not children of wrath, but you've come, you're children of grace. That through the grace of what Jesus has done to die on that cross for your sins, and that you believing in him, God says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be a church. If that's not exciting to you, I don't know what can be. In fact, Isaiah 40, God says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned, that she is to receive from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Her warfare is ended. We're at peace with God through Jesus Christ. As one commentator said, peace is the cessation of hostility between two warring parties. They're not fighting with each other anymore. So, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants a relationship with us. What if I ask Beth on a date this week and I say, Beth, let's go out on Thursday night. She goes, oh, great, that sounds so lovely. And I say, because it's my duty and it's on my list. All the points I might have gained in asking her out, I just got negative points, right? Our relationship with God is not based on just following a set of rules or even wearing vestments or going to our liturgy. All these are good if they are done with a right relationship with him. And the right relationship with God is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, causing the warfare to be over, that we walk with peace. With peace with God. Between us and God, and therefore we can experience peace in our, the peace of Christ. Peace in our hearts. And maybe you're not experiencing peace because maybe you haven't really thought about the fact that you have peace with God. through Christ. You have a truce. The warfare is over. You've been called out of the world to be in a right relationship with him. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ecclesia, called out to be in a right relationship with our God. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So in conclusion here, let's take a look again at this picture. Is the church a building? Yes or no? Yes? A building with four walls? Well, one or two more scriptures here. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, the church, is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. So are we a building?
No.
But yes. We're not a building with four walls, dead stones. But we are a building of God, living stones, built on the foundation, the cornerstone of Christ, the foundation of the apostles, with a relationship with the builder of the house, God Almighty. And so I want you to rejoice in that and be excited this week in your relationship with him, living, breathing, every second of your life. Have you been institutionalized? Have you been turned into a dead stone? Are you going through the motions, or are you in motion? The church is in motion. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So to him now who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay, if you please stand, let's rejoice in our God and confess to him. Now, when we sing today and when we recite these, don't just recite them by rote, speak to God. And when you sing, sing to God. When he feeds you, let God feed you today. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.